sound experience of a lifetime. Are you ready for crystal clarity in sonic bliss? Are you ready for CKUT? We're ready for you. 90.3 on your FM dial.
The following is a previously broadcast program.
Be So Simple on CKUT 90.3 FM. Today's episode will be a part of a three-part series on the student experience with isolation, conducted through interviews that will tackle the subject of relationships, mental health, and unlikely connections during the time of confinement. Today, I'll be airing interviews from three first-year students from McGill, who'll be talking about their experiences entering the world of university, living in Montreal, studying online, and trying to find a place for themselves in the city in the midst of a pandemic. In our next episode, I'll be talking with international students who studied and self-isolated in Spain, France, and America. And for our final episode, I'll be talking to students who were applying to and graduating from college in the midst of the pandemic. This is the COVID Campus Chronicles, Episode 1, The McGill Diaries.
Tell me your name, your pronouns, what you study, and where you study it.
My pronouns are she, her. I'm currently studying like a double major in English and statistics, but I changed my mind a lot. It's through the Faculty of Arts from St. McGill.
Lovely. Could you repeat your name again?
Anna.
So this episode specifically is about isolation, and isolation is a pretty general term. But I'm referring to a period of time during the COVID-19 pandemic in this past academic year when you've been forced to isolate yourself or keep in limited contact with other people for a period of time. Do you feel as if you've had moments of isolation during the COVID-19 pandemic? If yes, when and for how long? And if no, why not?
I do feel like there's been a sense of isolation like ever since COVID and still now. I guess there are lots of memories I have. There are like happy memories of connecting with others that involve being physically with them, like seeing fireworks at like New Year's Eve with like a bunch of other people or gatherings with friends. A lot of like moments like that that you take for granted until they're taken away. Even though right now in Montreal we can do a lot of things, there is still some experiences like that that we can't quite have, like music festivals. I feel like I'm quite like nostalgic and missing just the general sense of connectivity, even if it's with strangers.
Yeah, for sure. Were you on campus or did you choose to stay off campus?
So I was in residence and I did have one in-person class, creative writing, the second semester, which was really good. But residence was quite lonely because a lot of what makes residence life worth it is meeting so many people your age or and in the same experience as you, having a roommate and finding out what that is like, And I do feel cheated of like all of those positive aspects.
So you lived alone and you said that you kind of felt as if some of the experiences of living in res were stripped away. How were you able to connect with other people in your residence? And if so, how?
I was able to. There were lots of group chats, for one thing, like the McGill 20 class of 2024 or entering class of 2020. There was, you know, like an Instagram page and a Facebook page. And then there would be like, oh, here's a group chat for if you're in this class, or here's a group chat for if you're Jewish or like queer or et cetera, interested in coffee. and like, that was like a really big thing. And I don't think that many of those group chats led to any deep and long lasting relationships, but it was a fun way to just like interact with other people for the first time. And this was like starting in May, so before I'd gone to residence. And then once I got to residence, there was the expectation that like you meet people like in the elevator or in the hallways. And you really have to be direct and be like, oh, I want friends. Would you like to be my friend? I don't know you yet, but would you like to like, you know, go on a walk with me? And I didn't love that directness. I think most people would rather a natural friendship that grows because you genuinely like the person that your acquaintances with. It felt like everyone at residence was trying to shortcut straight into like a friendship, which was difficult, but we didn't really have any other choice because we didn't have a lot of casual spaces to interact.
Yeah. So that's actually so interesting. And you felt as if that was unnatural. Do you feel like it forced friendships that weren't necessarily good or kind of friendships of circumstance?
I think I was lucky. I've had a pretty undramatic year. But a lot of people I know did have friends that they were like, oh, these are bad people. That might just be a first year residence experience, though.
Yeah, no, sorry. I didn't necessarily mean that they were bad people, but you kind of mentioned that you felt as if people were trying to shortcut into friendship rather than letting it naturally happen due to kind of the dire circumstances. Do you feel like that was a benefit in terms of people being more forward, or was that kind of jarring?
Okay. I think it was both. I think it was necessary, and it was also jarring. But I mean, personally, I do value the trait of like honesty and bravery. So even though it was weird, I wasn't like personally judging people that were very like blunt about what their needs were. I guess it was also just sort of like sad to reflect that like everyone was so desperate for friendship because we hadn't seen anyone in such a long time.
Yeah, no, I definitely understand. So how you said that you were part of some, I love saying internet communities, like like someone, you know, from the 18th century. But you said that you were part of certain group chats or kind of like social media-esque groups that never ended up developing into real kind of grounded friendships. Why do you think that is? Or like, why did that never really pull through? Mm-hmm. Was it because people were strewn about, or I don't know.
I think especially in before university had started, there was a lot of uncertainty about what it would look like, especially as like information came out that was grimmer and grimmer, and we're like, oh no, this is just never going to end. There was a need for like, I guess, connection and maybe also like complaining about the situation to other people. But I guess at the end of the day, there wasn't enough we had in common, or maybe the platform of being online and not seeing each other or experiencing things together made it impossible to have connections. A lot of the people on the group chats I've actually like met in person. They're like, oh wow, you're so much like cooler and more interesting than your text messages made you out to be. I feel like Tinder and like dating apps get a lot of hate, and it's like kind of the same thing, I think.
it just doesn't work as well, in my opinion at least. Maybe I'm old fashioned.
No, I don't think you are. What do you think are the fundamentals of creating kind of a grounded friendship or a relationship that isn't beelined into?
Yeah, I would say shared experience.
How did you personally go about meeting people if it wasn't necessarily like an elevator friendship in res, or was that particularly difficult?
That's a good question. I did meet some people online, and then I was like, oh, you happen to be in New Res, so you happen to be in Montreal, so we should hang out. And then there was like a group chat that there were enough people in Montreal to meet up. And I would say the majority of the time, those meetings, like, they were nice because I was new to Montreal and frightened, but nothing became of them. I can't remember really how I met my current friends. I think it was just sort of doing that, and then like a small minority of these instances were like online and then in person or on elevators worked.
Yeah. So kind of a draw of the cards, is that the expression?
Yeah. I did have a friend that every new person he met that he liked, he added to like just this group chat. So it was him and all of his friends.
He should have started the band.
It was really, okay, that was actually really effective though. Because like, I don't know, I guess he felt like we were like chosen and we all knew at least one person. And then he'd just be like, so what are we doing tonight? And I could think that, yeah, I guess like the shared experience. If you go out with people enough, then you have shared experiences.
Definitely. But do you feel like it's kind of one of the benefits, or maybe one of the upsides of taking life online, is that it allows you a certain ease of accessibility to new people?
Yeah.
I guess going back to isolation specifically and the feeling of being isolated, do you feel that a lot of the people I speak to, and I guess in my own experience, do you feel that your mental health was affected by the sort of feeling of isolation and separation? And if so, how? And if it wasn't, then, mm-hmm. You know?
I think it was. I mean, there are some people that like the quiet life, but I don't think I'm introverted enough for that. I do like to have a lot going on in my life. And I think that like interpersonal connections is something that gives me a lot of joy. I think it's hard to feel purposeful or busy or fulfilled if you are alone in what you're doing.
Yeah. Would you say that kind of when you talk about purposeful, feeling purposeful, was it harder to focus on schoolwork or maybe creative projects or whatever it was that was kind of at the forefront of your productivity?
When you go to school and you see other people working, or, you know, since I do poetry, to go to poetry events, it's a constant reminder of why you're doing what you are doing. Whereas alone in my residence room, I just had to remind myself constantly that what I was doing was important and valuable.
Yeah. So you said that you found a lot of joy in interpersonal connections and they give you kind of a sense of fulfillment. And I'm assuming that you kind of had pre-existing friends and family and pre-existing connections when you arrived in Montreal. How were you able to maintain and uphold them while in isolation?
It was difficult. I do feel like sometimes some of my friendships that I have are sort of on hold. I think what worked for me is to state like not my intentions, but my appreciation frequently, just be like, oh, I'm thinking of you. And even though neither of us have the mental energy to have a conversation, at least we both know that we care for each other, despite the fact that we haven't seen each other in a long time. But sometimes it does feel like the skeleton of a friendship or a relationship rather than the thing itself.
Could you maybe explain that in a little bit more depth, what you mean when you say the skeleton of a friendship or relationship?
Yeah. I guess that we're not seeing each other in person, so there aren't shared experiences. But even more than that, I feel like COVID strips us of events happening in our own life. So there's just less to connect about because there's less going on with all of us. And I think that a lot of people are burnt out from various causes and they're tired and frustrated. So neither of us are in the proper headspace to really create good memories. And so it sort of feels like we're both to feel ready to, like, I don't know, do more Zoom meetings or have more conversations. But until then, we're just on hold.
Yeah, for sure. Do you feel that your relationships have grown or adapted during COVID? And if so, how?
I mean, life goes on. It's been like over a year. So things have definitely happened. I have now reunited with some of my friends that I hadn't spoken to during COVID. And that was great. But I guess I do feel like COVID was a loss. It was like an objectively bad thing in terms of my relationships. And that I could try to look for ways they've grown, but it would probably be like silver lining to a bad thing.
Yeah, that's understandable. Do you feel that during isolation, there was maybe something that helped ground you when you were feeling maybe out of it? And what was that?
I really like being outside with people. I guess going back to shared experiences, there's normally more like stimulation. I think that I did spend a lot more time outside, and it's a much more natural way of existing, and doing that with other people is really nice. And it's something that I sort of felt in the rush of pre-COVID years.
Yeah, for sure. And what were ways of connecting with people that you loved or enjoyed during COVID, if there were? And if not, what did you learn or maybe gain from limited access to others or time with yourself?
Okay, so I did spend a lot of time with my family during COVID before I moved to residence. You know, sort of stuck in one house with all of them. Something that my mom did, which I thought was useful, was that she took a lot of photos so that she was making small and happy moments significant. So like if my brother was painting something or we were playing chess or had a nice dinner, she would take a photo of it to prove that the summer of COVID wasn't wasted. It was still something.
I think that's all we have for today. And I'm very sorry about bad connection, but I wanted to thank you so much for doing this interview with me.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It was an interesting conversation.
Up next, a song from New York-based artist and my friend Zuzu. This is Summer Solstice New Year by Planet Zeus.
You're caught up in it, you probably won't get it, but that only is here to stay. Just take a minute, get lost in it. Tomorrow is a better day. And I'll say, when you want it, then you got it. If you need me, you can call me. Anything to see your face. Cry your tears out and you're bawling, but you know that in the morning you'll be in a better place. My God, I love you with that smile on your face. We should go dancing at the end of the day. And it's nice out, it's not raining. No more teardrops in my eyes. It's okay now, no complaints. falling, but you know that come the morning you'll be in a better place. Yeah.
That was Summer Solstice New Year by Planet Zoos, produced by Kevin Darcy or Rafiki Music. To talk in more depth about this song and their most recent musical release, I sat down for a quick interview with Planet Zoos.
I guess we'll start off with, like, what are your name? What's your name? And
my name is Zuzu, and my little, like, stage name, I guess you could say, is Planet Zoos, what I put on all my songs, so yeah.
What are your pronouns?
She and they.
Hot girl shit. What's this EP about?
In the words of Sweetie, I wanted to make something fun for the summertime, something for the girls to get ready to. That was the vibes of the EP. I just wanted to do like pop, I guess. Like, I was very into like the Doja Cat and like Ariana type sound. That's kind of like what I, you know, took from. And I just wanted to like make a fun summer EP because I was like, after like COVID and stuff, I was like, well, we're still in COVID, but like, I want to be like having fun, being outside, like going to parties, like being the girl who like dances in the middle of the circle at the parties. You know what I mean? So I was like, I want to make like an album that, or an EP that kind of like, just like represents being outside. Like there's literally a song called We Outside. Like that's what it was.
And is this kind of your first time working with like the pop genre? Like, I know that, like, tell me kind of about your music history.
Yeah, I would say that like I'm usually like, my music is like kind of sad and like indie, you know, tendencies. It has indie tendencies. I don't really do like, you know, pop type beats. It's usually like lo-fi alternative, da da da. So like this was like my first time like just like kind of doing, you know, the basic pop sound, but I think it was like actually harder than like writing my typical style, because even though the lyrics in pop are like really simple and easy to like understand, it's like this is like actually hard. Like people who are pop stars, I really have to like give it up to them.
No, for sure. I mean, I was gonna ask like what genre is it, but you already answered that. How do you want the listener to feel while listening to your songs?
For this specific project, I just wanted people to feel like good, just like bubbly, summery vibes. Like I wanted people to feel confident while listening to it, feel like, I don't know, like a perk of happiness. That's why I chose all those like happy, upbeat instrumentals.
What's your favorite song on the EP, if you have one?
I think it's either Sailor Moon or Summer Solstice New Year. I think Sailor Moon is produced by Whirlish Mook, and then Summer Solstice New Year is produced by Kevin Darcy or Viki Music. They're awesome.
Why do you make music?
I make music because... that's actually an interesting like question. I feel like I don't know, I've just always been like artistic, like, you know, we worked at the damn music like we know this, but like I feel like music has always been like my medium, like writing and music have always been my mediums. I've done like other creative stuff, but it's definitely writing and music that's the main thing. So I'm like, I just want to have people like able to hear what I'm creating and like sing and have fun. Like this is like something that I genuinely want to do. Obviously I have like, you know, going to college and doing like my environmental studies major, but like if I could like make money off my music and be happy like writing and, you know, singing, I would take that opportunity for sure.
Do you have any like inspirations in terms of musicians or songwriters or anything of the sort?
Yeah, I'm really inspired by Mitski for one. I feel like she like it's an amazing like poet and writer, and I'm like, bro, how does one, like, every time I feel like with all my inspirations, I'm like, how do you even do this though? Like like Mitski, Lana, even though I like her older stuff, Bjork, Frank Ocean, just like people like that. I really like the deep like singers, and I'm like, I don't even, I try to make my lyrics deep, but I'm like, bro, it's not doing the same. It's just not.
No, I feel that. I listened to a Pearl. The first time I listened to a Pearl, I like, I cried in my kitchen. I was like, what is happening?
No, and it's like, I feel like the way that like Mitski and Bjork especially, right? It's like really just poetry being sung. And that's like all music, but like, they kind of just put a melody to like speaking, I guess. That sounds so like dumb, but like
no, not at all. You're totally right.
Yeah, like they're telling stories, I guess. And I'm like, bro, how even do you do this? I can't.
I know, it's crazy. So like, do you feel like there's some kind of, can you aim to have that same like upbeat pop, hot girl summer energy and look for a depth in your lyrics, or is that just like
I feel like, I mean, I think yes, but like it definitely wouldn't be like, I don't think I could do like a hot girl summer type song with like Jude lyric material. Like that would like, I don't even know how that would, I think actually with Summer Solstice New Year, like the lyrics are very simple, but it's like about, you know, kind of like bringing yourself out of like a depressive episode or like, you know, spiraling, and it's like upbeat and cute. Like it was giving Solar Power by Lorde, I think. So I like, you know, like that. Yes.
Do you, I mean, you also don't have to answer this, but I feel like definitely during COVID, I had like periods of self-isolation, especially online, like during online college, where I was like so like unironically depressed, where I would just like not leave my room for 9 days, and it was very hard to get out of that. Do you feel like your working on this project was a way to like look towards a future or a summer where you could like go outside and
yes 100%. Like I feel like I was like, all right, I need to just like actually start doing stuff during the summer, because like it's not just COVID that made me think like this, and obviously like you still have like, you know, restrictions and whatnot, but like I feel like being outside is like literal and like also metaphorical, because it's like you just have to kind of like step into yourself if you want to quote unquote be outside, like be like loud or not necessarily loud, but just like a not like super like aware of yourself, you know what I mean, like in a way that's like prohibiting, you know, like ego death type thing. Like that's what I think of when I think of being outside. Like
so like to be outside is your truest authentic self, and in order to be your truest most authentic self, you need to not be self-conscious because your fear of looking stupid makes you unhappy.
exactly. Like I'm just thinking of like when I'm like at Washington Square Park and like people are dancing and like what, like I feel like I sometimes have moments where I'm like self-conscious about that. I'm like, why though? Like I'm just happy and having a good time. Like there's literally no reason to, you know, be so, you know, embarrassed of myself.
Okay, so say I like Naomi just played the song on the radio and I'm like, wow, that song slapped so hard. I love it. Where else can I listen to your music?
I am on SoundCloud at Planet Zoos, or you can type in Zuzu Addy in the SoundCloud search bar. I'm trying to expand to Spotify and, you know, all music platforms probably later this year. So that's what I'm like trying to get focused towards, but all of it's on SoundCloud for the time being.
How else can we like support you?
I am also on Instagram at Planet Zoos. That's where I like promote my music. That's where I like do, you know, all the posting and all the like reposts of my friends. I would just say literally just listen to the music, send me a message if you like it, you know, post about it on your story, tag me, like any, like literally anything is good, like even just to listen. But I really appreciate it when like people go out of their way to like comment or like repost, and it's like people that I don't know, and I'm like, wow, like this is actually like reaching people, so it's really cool.
And finally, do you have any upcoming projects?
Nothing in the works right now, but like I said, I'm going back to my like sad girl roots, so the next couple songs, I mean, they're not gonna be outside, they're gonna be inside. but they're still gonna be cute.
All right, thank you so much for letting me interview.
Thank you.
That was Zuzu, the musician behind Planet Zoos. For more of their music, you can find them on SoundCloud under Planet Zoos. No spaces, all lowercase. Coming up next, two more interviews with McGill students. Once again, you're listening to CKUT 90.3 FM, It Could All Be So Simple, Episode 1 of the COVID Campus Chronicles.
Tell me your name, pronouns, what you study, and where.
Okay, cool. I am Blair Jackson. My pronouns are they, them. I study linguistics in the Faculty of Arts at McGill.
That's awesome. Thank you, Blair, for talking to me about this. So this episode is about isolation, and isolation is kind of a general term, but I'm referring to a period of time during the COVID-19 pandemic, during kind of this past academic year, when you've been forced to isolate yourself or keep in limited contact with other people for a period of time. Do you feel as if you've had moments of isolation during the COVID-19 pandemic? If yes, when, for how long? And if no, not really, why not?
Definitely. Like in the beginning of the pandemic, of like around March 2020, I was still in high school. So I was used to going to school every day, and that was a really, that immediate shock of it definitely put me in a period of isolation for a long time, because, you know, we said, oh, just don't go anywhere at all, and then this will all be over. So I, you know, flung myself into like, you know, a hunker down mode in my house. But in at McGill, I think the hardest and I think the most profound moment of isolation for me was when I, in the fall semester, I lived in RVC, and around October, the Quebec government was like, okay, cases are getting worse again. We're just gonna lock down for 28 days. Obviously, it didn't end up being 28 days, but and so not only, you know, did I already live in RVC, but people weren't allowed to like see each other in their rooms. Like I couldn't have other people in my room, even though they lived on the same floor as me. The only time I ever saw other people was if I, so this is actually when the RVC caf wasn't even open yet. So I had to walk to T4 to eat. If I saw my way to C4, you know, like that was cool. Or I would ask, you know, my other friends in RVC, when are you going to go eat? Can I come with you? And that was the only interaction I really had that entire span from October to the end of the fall semester. And yeah, it was super socially isolating. I was in single dorm room for probably like 20 out of 24 hours of my day.
And how do you feel like you were able to make friends when you were like so isolated?
Well, I guess something that helped was the fact that, you know, September was kind of a really loose month as far as COVID restrictions went. So we, you know, we were able to go to like the Cat Cafe, for example. So, like, I would meet someone on my floor at RVC, and I would invite them to go, you know, do something with me, or I would hang out in their room with them or something. I feel really lucky that like the dorm that I lived in the floor that I lived on, we were all very open. Like, we would leave our doors open. If you said hi, like, we would have stuff on our doors. You know, if you would say hi to us, we would, you know, start having a conversation in the bathroom if you wanted to. That sort of attitude kind of toned down once, you know, we kind of went back into isolation mode and hunker down mode. But in the first month of it is kind of where I made the majority of my friends. And those are the same people that I stayed with, you know, during the time where we would only ever leave the building to go eat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that also requires like quite a bit of extroversion. Do you feel like isolation or like quarantine really pushed people to kind of be extra social, or was this kind of, I don't know, maybe this is like the norm for you?
Honestly, I think it did. Like, because like, for example, I wouldn't have been that extroverted and I wouldn't have reached out that actively if it wasn't for the fact that quarantine was a thing. I like, personally for me, I know that I can't obviously speak for everyone, but you know, I was not only just like blessed randomly with an extroverted floor, but I kind of, you know, felt like a social need to be extroverted, like for a survival kind of instinct. I was like, okay, go find friends. But I do know folks that aren't so extroverted that didn't find anyone at all during that time period. So it honestly depends on how far you're willing to go, I guess, and how far out of your comfort zone you're willing to go.
Yeah, no, that's definitely understandable. Kind of going off of, you mentioned that you spent around 20 of 24 hours kind of in your room. That definitely, and you didn't have a roommate, right?
Yeah, no, I lived in a single.
So how was that kind of mentally when you weren't, especially during those moments where you kind of just went outside to go eat with people and that was kind of the only interaction you had outside or with other people? How did it affect you spending that much time alone?
If I hadn't been prepared by the fact that, you know, I was in my house for every single day, all day, every day in the beginning of the pandemic. And also the fact that I had to do a 14-day quarantine when entering Canada. If those things hadn't happened, I probably would have been way worse off. So I was already mentally kind of prepared for living that kind of, but I think the fact that I never really knew when it was going to end, I never really knew, you know, how long I would have to be living like that was definitely the worst part of it. Honestly, it got to the point where I left early to go back home, like for the holidays, and I did all my finals at home because, you know, I could, because it was online, because I just like, I couldn't take it anymore. I couldn't really rationalize the fact that I was there. You know, I was in a small box on a campus that I didn't even have any classes in. And honestly, I think it made me like, just like the whole like experience of being in a dorm room and never really leaving, made me a lot more socially, like it kind of made me kind of forget how to interact with people. Like, I remember coming back here, and even after I had lived in an apartment for my second semester, which I'll get to as to why I left, but I came back and, you know, I went from relative isolation in Montreal to total, you know, USA, live free or die type freedom over there.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know how to talk to people. I don't know how to interact with people. I don't remember how to do facial expressions because people can see my face now. So I think it really affected me in the sense that, like, I like forgot kind of how to talk to people. I would sleep for way more of the day than I should have, just because I didn't really have anything to do besides do my classwork and just sit there. So I just ended up sleeping a lot because, you know, if you're sleeping, you're not really thinking. So, you know, that's great. And I basically was either sleeping or doing classwork or going to lunch, or dinner or wherever I went. I forgot sometimes. That's not me, because I love my food. I would just kind of forget to eat, or I would forget to do this, or forget to go take a shower. You know, I think self-care really goes out the window, either subconsciously or even consciously, because, you know, you're not seeing anybody.
Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, what's the point? Like, who's gonna see me? So why does it matter if I'm like working out or showering or
eating? Exactly. At one point I just kind of kicked my own butt and I said, you need to do this for you, because you obviously feel way better when you take a shower or when you do this or that.
Yeah.
Like, I need to do this for me. I feel better when I've eaten something. I you know, if I forget, I'm going to set myself a reminder or this or for that. But I did end up leaving RBC. Like, after I went home, I had already had around the end of November, I'd already had arrangements to like leave RBC and move into an apartment that I knew. So I ended up doing that, and it was a little bit easy, not much, because as you know, the beginning of winter and that whole time was relatively similar as far as, you know, in January we had the curfew and all of this stuff, but it was a little bit easier being able to make my own food and see folks that I lived with and stuff like that, but I did end up leaving RVC because I knew that that sustaining that lifestyle wasn't going to be good for me,
mm-hmm.
physically or mentally. And thankfully RVC was really good about it. Like, housing was really good about leaving during this whole time, and they didn't really do anything to stop us. Basically, mm-hmm. I let them know. They usually said, oh, well, you need, we're finding you a month's rent. So when I told them I was leaving, I made it specifically so that, like, I would still be around for part of the month that they were finding me.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to play you, but it was easier than I guess it probably would have been before, because I think that they were sympathetic to us to some degree.
Yeah. I mean, kind of building off of that, do you feel like McGill as an institution provided some sort of resources for students who are like struggling with isolation or virtual classes? And like, if they didn't, what could they have done better?
They had those like contact people as far for like mental health and stuff that they had. It like started, God, what, instituted? They'd stuck there at the, you know, like, you know, when the pandemic was going on. I think I contacted one of those folks at one point or another, and they just told me, like, oh, I'm so sorry, like, that's happening to you. We can't really do anything about it, obviously. So, like, try to speak to the people who live on your floor.
So what could McGill have done better in terms of helping out students who are struggling with mental health during isolation?
You know, I think McGill is just famously bad at, like, letting people know even what their resources are. because I remember when I first like came here, somebody warned me. They were like, you have like a lot of stuff at your disposal, but Miguel isn't going to really tell you it's there and you have to go looking for it on your own. So, you know, a lot of these kids, or they, you know, they need help, whatever, they don't really know where to turn. I think I understand that we didn't obviously like have a whole, oh, like it's COVID, you know, people, everybody's going to be isolating. All the classes are going to be online, infrastructure in place before it happened, because nobody knew it was going to happen. Mm-hmm. But I think Miguel does just like need to get better at letting people know what resources are available. Just like encouraging people to use said resources, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't want to criticize too hard, like the fact that they weren't entirely organized regarding just like things that could happen in the pandemic, because none of us were. But
yeah, you also mentioned a little bit earlier that you were kind of able to meet new people on your floor. But you, I'm sure when you came to McGill, had like existing relationships, like friendships, family, etc. How were you able to maintain those? And do you feel like in some ways, maybe you weren't, or would it not have really mattered? Cause like you moved countries, so you probably would have been calling anyway. I don't know. How have your relationships adapted, like your existing ones?
I think in the fall semester, in the beginning, I was really good at keeping up with my friends and stuff like that. But then I think it was kind of mutually, we were so wrapped up in just the amount of stress we were under, and we were so wrapped up in like, you know, the mental health issues that we were experiencing because of this, that mutually, I think we just, my friends from home and I kind of fell out of touch. Going back home in the middle of the year, you know, in the semester break, really helped kind of reestablish that. But, and I actually, as far as like my family goes, there was a period of time in the middle of the fall semester where I kind of just like forgot to call them or forgot to check in on them. And they were like kind of worried about me during that time. And it wasn't that I was actually like doing worse or anything. I was so wrapped up in, you know, I live this new life. Now I live in this different city. These are my friends. This is my support system here. And I just kind of forgot that I had a life elsewhere. And it just mattered to me a little bit less. And I kind of neglected to realize, you know, they want to hear from me. They miss me, you know, all of this kind of stuff. So actually, like, I have a tattoo that says, call your parents now. but as an eternal reminder.
That's so funny.
You know, well, because you, not to be dark and depressing, but you never know when the last time you're going to call your family is. So,
yeah.
You know, it just like not doing it for a month is definitely not the best practice.
So call your parents.
Call your parents. They want to hear from you. It can make their day if you call your parents. Same thing with if you have siblings, brothers and sisters, calling them directly makes them feel really special. I have grown siblings, so obviously when I call my parents, they are not there. But yeah, I think I had a hard time maintaining relationships back home overall. I think it ended up getting better after I was able to kind of adapt more and like get used to the fact like that, you know, the COVID reality in Montreal. But it definitely, especially when, you know, I was just getting used to college classes and, you know, all the work that I had to do and what my new routine would look like. I think, you know, my relationships back home were left on the back burner for a while.
Yeah, no, I definitely understand. You just, like, with in terms of dealing with the new workload of classes, all of the classes, at least at McGill, were online, as they were at a lot of universities this year. Do you feel like you had a chance to connect with classmates, or kind of in what ways was virtual education helpful? And on the flip side of that, what do you feel like you lost when you were online learning?
I just like, if for the second part of the question, I simply cannot focus as well or retain information nearly as well in an online class, especially on Zoom. Because if I'm less of a captive audience, I can't really, I'm not paying attention enough, so I'm not retaining information enough. And I honestly feel like I could have really engaged with the material a lot better if it wasn't like that. And so I kind of feel like I lost like opportunities to like really fully understand what was going on just in favor of getting a grade in an online class, you know? Mm-hmm. So it kind of felt a little bit hollow. Like I was just doing things, going through the motions to just like do well in my first semester of college. As far as relationships with classmates, I think I only really had any semblance of friendship with my classmates in my Russian class, because we had to do group projects together and we had to speak Russian to each other and we had to get to know each other in Russian. So we were like, at first we were randomly assigned. We were just kind of forced to speak to each other on video. And that was like, I think the number one way I got friends in my classes. I like the majority of my friends were not from classes. I didn't have friends in any other class besides those guys, besides the Russian class. I think the majority of the friends that I got were just because, like, you know, people who left their door open on the floor, or, you know, as people I ran into in the bathroom in my dorm, or what have you.
Yeah. No, I get that. But you also, like, you met a lot of people, like, I think, at least in, like, you have a lot of roommates. We actually met through Alice, like, your current partner. So I got the impression that you kind of were able to interact with a lot of people, but you also mentioned that during isolation, you kind of unlearned how to talk to people. So how was it interacting with and meeting new people in the midst of like very serious lockdown with early curfew and kind of that sort of atmosphere? What was that like?
So honestly, the godsend and the reason why I know the amount of people that I know is another girl on my floor, who had kind of an established group of friends, basically because of a group chat that was advertised on the McGill 2024 Instagram. So that whole group of people kind of, I would consider like my main cohort now, but it all just came from a girl that I was in the same dorm as and like lived in like quite far away actually. On my floor. So those people I would consider my friends now, and that's how I met my current partner as well. But it was really awkward like getting to know all of them, because majority of the interaction we did was like group chats, and we were like, you know, we did the same thing as my floor friends did, you know, do you want to meet at New Res and have breakfast and then go, you know, eat on campus or whatever. Like that's kind of the majority of what we did. But it was hard, and you know, not everybody was in Montreal at that point in time either. So the folks that I met, you know, it took me probably a longer time than I'm used to just like integrating myself into the group and like totally feeling comfortable with the people that I was with. Fully opening up to folks, as I was not used to doing that at all. And just becoming socially comfortable and like less guarded group of people was definitely like a harder thing for me to do. But yeah, no, my roommates now are all from that group except for one that my partner knew already. So so obviously like that, if I hadn't met that group of people, then I wouldn't know nearly the volume of people that I know now. So
you talked about kind of, but if I understand correctly, it was kind of through an online community, right? So then there's this sort of requirement there's a difference between meeting people online and then meeting them in person during a pandemic, and then you kind of have to adjust to meeting new people also after being locked in your room and like sleeping for 14 hours and getting off your computer.
It was definitely kind of odd because of the interaction online. But a lot of the folks were in Montreal because the majority of the group is Canadian. So they were able to get to Montreal no problem back then.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead, sorry.
I know, it was just kind of odd because, you know, they knew me from, you know, we all knew each other online and they had already kind of started meeting each other. And then I just kind of like popped into existence randomly. So they already kind of knew everyone. And I was like, great, thanks, guys. Welcome. Hi, I'm here.
I guess speaking specifically about Montreal itself, how do you feel the city of Montreal changed or responded to COVID-19? And how was it with the curfew and sort of the restrictions on group sizes and masks and... Yeah, what was your personal response and experience with that?
You know, like when I was in my box, I would be anywhere right now. Like, why do I have to be here? But those little moments of like grounding and exploring and like really like brought me true joy. And I was like, okay, cool. I like the fact that I'm here. I like being here and I want to be here to an extent. I remember the day that I knew that I really wanted to pursue my current girlfriend was when we all went on a train ride together. We did the entire Montreal metro system in a day, and we timed it. And you know, nothing was really open, but we did it anyway. Because it was one of the only things that we could do. And we were, like I said, being resourceful, making do with what we had. And it was one of the most fun experiences I had, and I still remember it, like, super clearly. And when everything else is kind of a sea of really, really vague memories, like, I know I would typically do this, those things really stand out. So I think, you know, sometimes you just gotta be super creative with what you're given.
That's it for episode 1 of the COVID Campus Chronicles, broadcast on It Could All Be So Simple and Radio Moon. Make sure to tune in to the next episode on August 19th at 2 p.m. on 90.3 FM. A huge thank you to interview subjects Blair, Anna, and Ava for agreeing to talk to me. And thank you to Zuzu for sharing their music and story with our station. Today's episode featured audio samples from Vampire Weekend, Cleo Soul, and Swing Lin. All research, interviewing, and audio mixing done by me, Naomi Murney, with overview by Jack Solar. You're listening to It Could All Be So Simple on CKUT 90.3 FM. It was my pleasure to host today. Thank you for tuning in.
You're tuned to Butcher T's Noontime Cuts, hitting every Friday from noon to 2, playing your wide variety of music just to make your afternoon delight just right. So stay locked at the CKT 90.3 FM.
Oh, what you needin' up? Trust me, what I got, you never seen before.